And what type of Latino are you?
Argentino.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I like you anyway.
See how that goes?
Born and raised.
You were born there?
And raised. I came here when I was 24.
How did I not know that about you? I thought maybe you were born in another country, but that you...
That I grew up here? No.
Because you don't even have the accent, really.
I worked on that shit.
Yeah. I almost married an Argentinian man. That's right.
Really? I don't like Argentinian men.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't either.
No,
I don't either. Okay, but the ladies, they're okay.
The women are good, actually. The guys, no. Mm-mm.
I agree.
No, they're assholes.
They're so pompous.
Okay, then we agree upon that. Mm-hmm. Argentinian men.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs down,
thumbs
guys.
Thumbs down, bitches.
Thumbs down.
So down. That's why I came here too.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was like, maybe I'll find some Americano that's a little bit more open-minded or something.
Exactly. Okay, good. And none of them are circumcised.
No.
They're not.
It's so not cute. Not cute. That turkey neck shit. No. It's like, hello.
Like, if I wanted more skin on my elbow, I'll call you.
Yeah. But it's so gross. I know. I know.
Okay, so we're already talking about balls. We're 30 seconds into the show.
To comics, walk into a show.
Okay.
So this is my mom, Nellie.
Yay.
Say, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to my daughter, what?
Podcast.
Podcast.
Podcast. I know, podcast. That's a weird name.
Everybody, welcome to Find the Funny with Lisa Alvarado. That's me. And my guest today is my very good friend, Grace Fraga.
That's right.
She's Argentinian. And as we just said, those boys are a no-no.
No, definitely a no-no. I escaped Argentina, so I wouldn't have to date them.
That's unbelievable.
No, seriously.
I tell people that, and they're like, no, Argentinians are... I'm like, no.
No.
I've lost every Argentinian fan I ever had.
three?
Yeah, three or four, maybe.
Yeah.
They don't come to shows, and they don't buy merch.
No.
Have you met Peruvian men?
Never.
Never?
Never.
You know what? There's not that many here in California.
Right?
There's not.
How are they, though?
I wish that there were more. There's Peruvian groups that, do the meetups and stuff like that, which is so funny. And when I go out on tour, I'm always asking, are there Peruvians? And they're like, I'm half, or I know a Peruvian.
Well, South Americans in general, there's not that many. And the further south you go, the less, that might be 10 Peruvians and like 6 Argentinians.
That's true.
Then you get to Antarctica, it's like none, zero from Antarctica, right?
Exactly. I am so happy to have you on the show. I remember finding out basically on Facebook.
Yes, because I kept it completely quiet.
You had cancer, breast cancer.
Stage 3.
Stage 3,
mm-hmm.
Which...
Yeah.
When I saw that on Facebook, I was shocked. I was like, but Grace is so full of energy. And that's the crazy misconception.
Yes. I felt absolutely nothing except for being fatigued, which I work, how we comics, we do everything. We work so hard.
Right.
And so I was like, I'm working hard. I'm tired. I'm getting older. It might be normal. It's okay.
Right.
And then I had like weird rashes and I have very sensitive skin. So I was like, it's nothing. Just went for a routine mammogram and they were like, you need to come back. And I had an attitude. I was like, hell no. Why should I come back? It's always a cyst or some bullshit.
Yeah.
I went back and they were like, you have Birads 5. I'm like, what is that? It's like 95% that it's cancer. I was like, what the fuck? I was so shocked. I had no idea what that was. I had no symptoms, nothing. I just went for a routine mammogram.
Yeah.
And that's how I found out. And I had several tumors, not just one.
Yeah.
Wow. It was like a party. You know how I called my tumor?
What? You had a name for years?
Like, yes. Fuck off.
That's the tumor. That's what I call my ex.
Yeah.
The Argentinian one.
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck off.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, girl. As soon as I left, I went in my car and I screamed and I cried like you would not believe. Like, I didn't give a fuck if people were calling the police. I closed the doors, the windows, everything. And I was like, I could not fucking believe it. Like, I was like, I thought I was going to die. Did you come up with the idea of find the funny because of your mom's?
It was a lot of that.
Yeah.
When I was in tears, that's how my mom would break me. Oh. She would try to make me laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get being a comedian from you. I didn't really know until like, wow, you've always been doing this. It just blew my mind.
That's amazing. So, when you have a parent like that, yes, you become a comic. My dad was the same way.
Oh, really?
Dying of cancer and laughing.
You get to a point where you're so exhausted of crying.
Yes.
Like you're so worn out of.
Yeah.
But I always tell people, especially in this thing, is have the cry first.
Absolutely. Let it go.
Scream, cry, mm-hmm. be angry. Mm-hmm. All of the emotions that come with.
Grief.
Whatever. Yes. Mm-hmm. Whatever your grief is. And
absolutely.
It's the people that deny those feelings, that start making the jokes right away.
No, you can't do that.
That I don't think you're ever really going to heal.
No.
Because you haven't faced it.
It's almost like you're in denial first.
Yes.
But you got to be in the sadness and the anger first.
Right.
I think that should actually be like the first thing you do. Like acknowledge it, feel it. Don't dwell on it though.
Right.
Because
right.
if you dwell in it, then you can fall into depression.
Right.
Or be angry at the stupidest shit and snap. And it's not going to be just one time. It's going to be like a roller coaster, you
right.
know. And then you'll start finding funny things. In the beginning, I found nothing funny about it.
Right. But the beginning's then, like that.
No.
Maybe that's because you're actually trying to accept that it's a fact.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, absolutely.
You're in denial partially. You're totally. Like, they could have made a mistake. They
yeah.
Maybe this really isn't happening.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to turn around.
Yeah.
Or it's not that far down the road.
Oh, you Google in your favor.
The scary part, and I don't know if I would recommend Googling anything.
Oh my God.
Because, well you go down the rabbit hole, right?
Depends what you Google.
Right.
Now that I became an expert, I think I'm a doctor, by the way, now.
Of course.
That's a problem, but that's okay.
You're charging me for this, right?
Absolutely. Of course. I'll send you the bill.
I expect it.
I
yeah.
take Venmo and Cash App.
Okay, so tell me about you. So they found multiple lumps. Was it in both breasts or?
One breast, thank God,
okay.
The right breast. But in the beginning, they could see with the ultrasound, they saw, it's 1.7 millimeters, centimeters, excuse me. And so I was like, okay, that's stage one. Then they did an MRI. Girl, I had one that was 7 centimeters, another one that 3.9. And then I had little DCIS, the little self-contained balls of cancer behind my nipple, like all over.
Oh,
so it was a party up in there.
Wow. And just on one side?
On one side of my right breast.
So, okay, they found a lump with me as well, but, and I'll tell you that story in a second. They always compare it to a fruit. Did they say it's the size of a grape? Did they say it's the size of a orange? Did they give you a thing to compare it to?
No, I'm actually upset that they never gave me any
fruits
to compare it with. I had to Google it. No, that's not
mine
fair.
Was a large grape. What? Not to brag.
A large grape.
Yeah,
well, excuse
I
me.
Know.
Are you trying to get competitive with me?
My lump was.
My lump?
My lump.
My lovely grapey lump. I'm a little jealous that she had a grape.
I had a grape,
had.
Guys. My lump was a grape. Not
yes.
to brag.
Whoa.
But that's okay. Because when you say millimeters or this
centimeters,
like,
yeah,
centimeters,
like, this is 7 centimeters.
Holy, okay,
that motherfucker
that's like
was
a kiwi.
Big.
That's
well, and it was. I don't know what the shape was because I did
seen
not...
some penises that big. That's
yeah, me too. Me too.
Huge.
Yeah, you're like,
that's...
is that a clit? Oh no. Okay. Okay. Yeah, like this, and
oh,
then the other one
gosh.
Was like this, and then little balls of. Oh, girl, it was a party up in that bitch. They were like, "Let's
so
party
you,
in her boo."
Okay, you never felt them though, because usually when they're that big, you can start to feel lumps.
The problem is, I have. Well, now I don't have it anymore, but I have big breasts,
mm-hmm.
and so they're very dense.
Mine called, too.
Yes, and so
what
if you touch this
that?
One, I'm like. Oh my God, I have like a million. So you can't differentiate. Now, when they told me where it was, I was like,
Oh my God, now I feel, how did I not feel that mm-hmm. shit? What? Because I thought it was part of like those lumpy,
yeah,
you know, yeah, the milk ducts or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ductal carcinoma. It's in the milk ducts. I guess my milk was expired or some shit. So the
wow.
cancer just
well,
grew.
You gotta have
like
someone
mold.
Suck that right out.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know.
Maybe
it might
that's
not
why
taste
I'm
like
healthy.
God. Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. Well, I never had
it's
kids.
My dog. My dog sucks it out. So what was the first step? Are they going to go in and try to yeah. remove, or what's the first step? Walk me through it.
Okay. So the first time, remember, it was 1.7 centimeters. So they were like, okay, you're going to have a lumpectomy, which means they cut your boob and they take that thing out and the tissue around it, make sure there's no cancer.
Right.
And that's okay. And you can have like fat or something filled up. So it was going to be okay. But then when the MRI happened and the landscape was completely different, they were like, you need a mastectomy. And they had, see, you have to be your best health advocate, because up to then, they did the MRI. My oncologist didn't check the MRI. So I go to my radiation oncologist and he looks at the MRI and he's like, you're going to need a mastectomy. Like all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, what? You're going to mastect what?
And so just for the viewers, the three men that are tuning in that are not Argentinian. Can you explain what that is exactly, okay. Mastectomy?
Mastectomy means, so your boob is basically tissue. It has tissue,
right.
Fat, and all that. So what they did is they opened my boob, and I'm going to be graphic, and this is,
yeah.
We'll go on OnlyFans later.
right.
I gotta make that money. So they cut you from here to here.
Right.
And they take all the tissue.
Everything out of it.
Everything. And you know there's tissue back here.
Yeah,
too.
No, I know.
That's the boob goes all the way up. The,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's like a pumpkin. You got to take all the stuff. You got to take all the stuff out. Yeah.
So they took
and
that.
And then you put a candle in it.
Yeah, I know. I know. They send it to pathology.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I don't know what they do with it. But so they take all of it out. I had immediate reconstruction. So basically, because my boobs were big, I had a lot of skin, so they didn't need to put, they usually put like a little pump and they kind of like stretch the skin.
Oh.
They did take a lot of skin, but still they were so big, I had double Ds. So they had enough skin to put the reconstructed breast. And it consists of, you have an implant. I had the biggest implant, 800 cc's, and they put it under your pec.
Yeah, 800 cc's. If anybody is having a drought, you just pop a little needle in her breast.
I got the other one. And, it's still natural.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a swimming pool version and then she's got the dense version.
Yes,
so.
Totally. Oh, no, we're going to talk about the girls, but that's later.
Maybe
they're
we'll
a little shy
them.
Today. Yes.
But that's going to be if you subscribe only.
Definitely. Yes.
Okay, so they keep the nip?
Okay.
Or they have
to... Well, they had to take mine out.
Right.
Because it was infected. There was those little balls. Remember the self-contained balls of cancer? So they took it out. I'm okay. I put like a little... sometimes if I want to feel like it's a real boob.
Yeah.
You're real, honey. It's okay. to be careful.
I know. Don't make her mad.
She gets, no.
This one's for company and this one's for anybody. This one shiny and new.
Yes.
And don't touch her. Don't talk to her.
No,
she's very perfect.
She's so young. She's not even 2 years old.
She's not even two.
She doesn't even speak yet.
Girl,
she talks.
That one's like this bitch.
Yeah, it's like she smokes and she didn't get cancer. What the fuck? You know, but whatever. So basically, going back to the reconstruction, they put an implant under your pec, which actually I'm now getting used to, like the muscle stretch.
Okay.
And it kind of affects everything, your neck, everything. Yeah. But that's okay. That's okay. I wanted a boob. That's okay.
Yeah.
And then they put cadaver tissue around it. Mm. Now they make you choose pig, cow, or human. I was like, human. I didn't want to move, you know, like
I know. I was like, you know, cow, especially pig, I think is too light for us. We're Latina.
Right?
So that would be pink. I hate the pink nipple.
No,
ooh.
I know, right?
We're Latina. We have the darker nips.
Yes, yes. We have dark everything.
Yeah,
yes.
You're welcome.
And more details, go to her OnlyFans. I'll set it up.
For mine you. Are inside out, but either way, they're darker.
Mine too. Shut up. Well, mine, one.
The other one's gone. The other one's gone. Okay.
But so I give all my parts that either don't work well or are new, I give them names. So I called the implant Tracy and the cadaver tissue Tommy because embracing her like this. And then I was like, oh my God, the initials of my new boob are titty.
I didn't even plan for that. I love it.
So this is titty and this one is big mama.
Big mama.
Yes. This one's perky, this one's saggy, so they're to have different zip codes.
Is this some kind of bust?
Well, it's very impressive, yes, but we need to ask you a few questions.
Every time I go to the doctor, it's like,
oh yeah.
Hey, yeah.
There's no privacy or dignity.
No.
It's like you walk in, it's your breast. It's one of the things that women feel most insecure about. And you walk in and it's like, titties out.
Yeah.
And then, so you're probably, it's very freeing now. You're like,
oh, I don't give a fuck. I flash everybody on the street now.
I'm a survivor. I'm good.
Yeah,
what,
totally.
It's saggy?
I don't care. It's like,
oh, I don't care. I'm alive. You. Who cares?
Yeah.
This is my body, you know? And actually, this is another story. I was dating somebody at the time. I started dating this person 2 months before I got diagnosed, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And he was a boob guy. He seemed like a nice person, but apparently he told a friend of mine he didn't sign up for this. Oh, wow. I did Google blogs of women because I was like, can't be the only asshole that, you know.
No.
Husbands leave them because they can't handle that they're flat. You have no idea. But there's a lot of wonderful men out there.
Yes. It's kind of like, I mean, because I don't know, I've never had cancer, but I liken it to childbirth, where you're going through some traumatic experience. It's very painful.
Yes.
Your body is transforming. Some guys cannot be in the room. They just pass out. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to make it better for you.
Yes.
And then there's the men that stay in the room that are like,
I love
Let me give me that umbilical cord. I'm going to cut this shit myself. I'm going to name the baby. I'm going to Mufasa the baby. You know, they're all about it. That's the kind of men that me and Grace need. So everybody tuning in, if you have free brothers available,
yes,
cousins.
Yes, not Argentinians, though.
Right, not Argentinians.
That's the only requirement.
Not Argentinians.
Not Argentinians. I had a boyfriend after that who told me, it's like, I love that they're not symmetrical. It's so different and fun, and like he loved on them.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
You know, that's a man. That's not
fantastic.
A boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I ever told you that years ago, it's probably like 8 or 10 years ago, they found a lump during an exam. Well, here's the thing is I found it first because it was in my armpit. And
that's so scary.
And a lot of people don't know that we have the lymph nodes go all the way into the armpits.
Absolutely.
And so they miss that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the mammogram is only basically the front. And they pull on your tit, but they can't get it all in there.
Not here.
And so here it's the skin is so much more shallow that you could see it. It was like a grape, not to brag. But
again, you have to run.
I know.
Thank you.
So it was like the and it was growing. Ooh. And my experience was I was super poor when I came to LA. You know, I'm a single mom. I'm switching careers and everything. And I come out here and I was on like, what's the free?
Medi-Cal.
Yes. They were like, well, let's see if we can remove it. Well, if not, we're going to biopsy it and just make sure it's not cancer. So I go in. They gave me just local anesthesia that I was awake. So I have my arm up. The doctor walks in. It's in the morning. And I smell alcohol.
I can't.
On his breath.
No.
No joke. So there's a nurse in there prepping you and giving the shots and everything. But I'm awake. So he cuts it. It took like 3 minutes. I was like, oh, I hope that's a good indication. Like It didn't take, well, maybe it's because I was a little drugged up, but I was awake. And then he's like, everything's good. I'm like, did you have fun last night? Because you smell like a bar. Yes. And he's like, and walks out of the room. So the nurse, she's cleaning up. He did the stitches. He's gone already.
Yeah.
And I said to the nurse, I go, can I see it? Like, I wanted to. Yeah. You're curious, you know? And it's like this big thing. And I go, can I just see it? And she goes, sure. Like, you're a weirdo, but... So she goes, you know, they put it in this vial with liquid in it so that they can send it to a lab. It was gone. There was no lump.
Wow.
So...
What?
Yes, and I'm awake, but I'm half drugged up. So I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean it's gone?
He
like
ate it.
We, yes! Yeah, the motherfucker ate it. That's what I mean, is he was so drunk.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. The LA Care, what's up, guys? Good job. So she's looking all over like, oh,
my God,
we have to send this. We're looking.
I never heard of that in my life.
I get up off the table. I'm flipping out. Like, I don't know if I have cancer. We need that thing to know if I have cancer.
Yes.
We have to find this thing. So she's looking on the floor under the table. We went, yes. So finally, you know, when the whole surgical tray is usually on this paper thing.
Yeah.
So the guy, the doctor, takes the thing and throws it in the garbage. He took the whole tray, threw it. My lump was in the garbage. Wow. We found it in, can you believe, we had to go through trash to find my
thank God you were
lump.
That's crazy. And thank God you were awake.
Yes.
Because imagine if you're under.
Imagine if I hadn't asked to see it. Yes. So she finds it. It's dirty.
What?
Let me get this piece of donut off of my lip.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Now it's going to have cancer.
Yes, yes.
Because of you people.
Yes.
And so she like cleans it off with a little bit of water. And I'm like, are you ripping apart my lump right now? Like, so then she puts it in the thing. She's like, I think we have enough of it to be tested. If it's cancer, we'll know.
Yeah.
And I went home thinking maybe that's somebody else's lump.
How drunk was that motherfucker?
Yes. And I'm sure I could have sued or something, but I was more concerned, like, am I going to be okay?
Yeah.
But
that is terrifying. That is fucking terrifying.
Drunk doctor. And now I have a joke in my act.
Yes.
About finding the lump.
They found a lump under my right arm. Turns out everything's okay. It was just my breast. Yeah. And I was laying on my back.
I'm sure you have a million jokes
of course.
In your act.
Yeah.
But has this happened to you where you have done, because I know you're a fantastic comedian.
Thank you.
And where you're doing jokes about cancer or about the lump or about this, and then people get mad. Usually what I do is I'll test a joke on Facebook or Instagram to see if it gets any traction. Then if it does, then I might write a bit about it because we're just throwing out feelers.
Yeah.
So what I wrote was something like, I found a lump and it turns out everything's okay. It was just an M&M, you guys. And because
that's funny.
And I eat chocolate at night. That's like a very bad habit. So I literally have woken up with an M&M stuck to my boob before. So that's not uncommon in the Alvarado household. I know, super hot, guys. But so that's kind of, it went through my own experience.
Yeah.
She messaged me on my Facebook page in front of everybody that was like, that's inappropriate. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, now you're trying to gain sympathy or start an argument publicly. Mm-hmm. If you're really one of my best friends,
thank you.
Contact me directly. You have my phone number.
Thank you.
And please give me the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
I knew that she had gone through breast cancer and she was a survivor and she's sensitive to it, but I never said cancer. I never said it. I was talking about my experience. Mm-hmm. And people in audiences sometimes get really offended when they haven't even gone through it. And they're like, oh, well, you can't talk about cancer. And I'm like, but that was my experience that I felt like I might have had it. I can joke about this. This
Absolutely.
Is how I heal. You don't have the corner market of pain.
That's right. Absolutely, 100%. I have cancer and I'm not offended at all.
Exactly.
It's hilarious.
Yes, you have to be able to, this is how I was coping. I started immediately writing jokes about it. And then after she did that to me, we stopped being friends because I messaged her personally. I was like, hey, this is not about you. This is really my experience. And she's just like, it's still inappropriate and you have no idea. And
it's
now
not offensive at all.
I do a whole bit about mammograms now.
Yes.
because I want to raise more awareness.
Yes, check your boobs, absolutely.
Do you do something special for your wife when she goes to get a mammogram?
No.
No? All right. Okay, so sir, if you want to know what a mammogram feels like, any of the guys in here, go to the tallest building in your neighborhood with Mylene. Have her put your balls in a panini press and then kick it off the side of the building. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you're talking about it and writing a book about it.
Yes, and doing comedy about it.
I love that.
Making cancer funny.
I love that. I had a woman come up to me after a show that she decided to have the mastectomy, that, and she kept the other breast, and she was at the show with her son, and she's like, this is the first time I have been able to laugh about it. And thank God you're talking about it, because had people talked about it more, I might have gone and get an exam sooner. And so she goes, I love that you told people in their in your 20s and 30s, if you have good insurance, go get an exam. Go get one.
100%. A lot of women in their 20s and 30s are getting cancer nowadays.
Oh, it's
breast
it's
cancer.
Not just hereditary.
Like it's environmental. Said, it's both.
Right.
You can have, this is epigenetics and it's been accepted. It's not, you know, something that's like voodoo. Okay. So you can have the DNA of cancer, which, like myself, I had it because my father had cancer. In my mom's family, there was ovarian cancer. So I'm sure I have the gene. Now, environmental factors like the food, cleaning products, the makeup, stuff I put on my body, and grief, stress.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a doctor that told me when you go through a lot of emotional stress, it does affect your body. So, yeah, definitely everybody, you know, if you have symptoms like fatigue or itchy skin, I see a lot of TikToks. I know this sounds crazy, but a lot of people have those symptoms.
How soon after the treatment did you actually get on stage? And was it scary the first time that you got on stage?
Yes. Maybe like 3 or 4 months. Because...
Wow, that's fast.
I know.
I don't know. I might have taken a year off.
I needed
I don't
to.
Know. Yeah.
I wanted, because I had written so much about my cancer journey.
Yeah.
That, and I wrote stand-up, actually, right. That I wanted to get it out there. It was healing for me.
Where did you begin? What part of it? Like, what was your first joke that you were like, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, I talk a lot about dating and how traumatic it is.
Yeah.
And so I start, last year I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. I went through chemo, radiation surgery, but it wasn't as bad as dating.
That is so true. Oh my gosh.
So then I go, and now I'm cancer free. So the audience feels, you know, more relieved, like, oh no, she has cancer. What?
Right.
By going back to the stage, yeah, and that's how it started. But it's very new because I'm just starting to workshop. I wrote a shitload of material. And once people feel comfortable that I'm cancer free now, that I'm talking about the past, then I think they feel more comfortable versus if I said I still have it, you know. And that's also another reason why I kept my cancer journey, my cancer healing journey, very private. For me, it was so overwhelming that I needed to focus my energy into my healing journey.
Right. As a comedian, as a female comic.
Yes.
Do you think that there's things that we can't talk about, whether it be cancer or whatever, that the audience won't give us the same laugh as they give a man?
Oh, definitely.
Right?
100%.
Oh.
I was thinking about this the other day. If you are giving the vibe that you're 100% in charge and not showing vulnerability, the audiences are not going to like you as much as you being vulnerable. I put a lot of emotion behind what I say.
Yeah.
And so the emotion kind of trumps what is appropriate or inappropriate for a woman to say, or what they think is appropriate or inappropriate for a woman to say. There is prejudice, absolutely. Oh my gosh, 100%. Yeah. And I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I don't care. You can be prejudiced. I survived cancer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't give a fuck. You want to be prejudiced? I ain't going to pay attention to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay attention to the ones that want to hear about it.
It was actually, it's pretty freeing when you survive it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I was bald as fuck, too.
Yeah.
I was bald.
Grace used to have this beautiful, long, blonde hair. We're going to show a picture of that.
Yes. And now I have my natural color showing. How about that? And a short.
But I like it.
I like it better, actually.
Yeah. Are you feeling more like...
I'm feeling more sassy. And yes. I noticed the attention is different.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like with the blonde... Like, it would be, they would assume that I was not as smart. I'm not joking. This is crazy, but I'm trying to figure out the difference, how I feel. I would get way more looked at. With blonde hair.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, 100%. Long blonde like I had. Oh, fuck yeah. And the big boobs. Hello. Yeah. Then guys would be just about banging me. They were really not that interested in getting to know me. That's how I feel. Look at the guy. Right. He left me because my boobs were going to be different.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, we are totally shallow, like on a more shallow. And now I feel like guys like think I'm smart, that I'm strong. They think, like, I want to get to know this person. You know, it's not like the striking thing about being blonde, which is so weird because it's like I'm the same fucking person.
It's very weird. It's very weird. I used to be a hairdresser for the longest time. And when I would have a blonde client want to go back to her natural color of brunette, I always sat them down like a counselor and said, are you sure? Because your life is going to change. It's not just going to be just that your color or your palette of makeup is going to change. How people treat you is going to change.
100%.
And they're like, you're crazy. I have had people cry in my chair. Take me back to blonde. And I'm like, do you really?
Well, if you want the attention, I used to get stopped on the street. And this is like a few years ago. Like not, I wasn't like in my 20s or anything.
Right.
And like younger guys would be like, can I tell you, you're gorgeous. And now, no. But on social media, like guys approach me a little bit more because they're like, oh, she's very interesting. She survived cancer. That's like a superhero. Now, like, they treat me like a superhero.
Yeah.
Doesn't care that I have two different size boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It likes the variety.
Absolutely. Look, symmetry is overrated.
Yeah, no, none of us are symmetry.
Nobody
anyway.
Is symmetrical.
No, I have one boob that's like forward and the other one's taking a left turn. I don't know what's going on.
There you go. Well, maybe we should have a play date. I know. Titty, big mama, new friends. They've been through a lot.
I, you know, it's like, and then guys would get all picky and I'm like, look at your balls.
And
you
your
know?
Dick.
Yeah.
Did you see your dick?
Can you see what this looks like? Dead baby bird.
Yeah,
you know? The reconnection that we're having. I mean,
absolutely.
This sounds horrible to say, but if you hadn't had cancer, would we be sitting here right now about this?
Maybe not.
I mean, we see each other at the clubs and we hang out. We've always been friends that way, but now I have this like deeper respect and I guess admiration for you, what you had gone through, but still having this great disposition about it. An attitude and like, yeah, fuck man, and let me get back on stage and let's talk about all of this stuff. Yeah. Let's
absolutely.
Heal.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, yes, I'm grateful that my body is working. I'm grateful for everything. Every day I meditate and I just breathe, you know, just feel myself. Not that way. that's at night. But you know, when I wake up.
Gotta do what you gotta
do. That's another podcast. Find the funny on OnlyFans. but I'm grateful for everything. Like, I thank, you know, God for you, you know, for getting to know you more, having that incredible story about the grape.
I know.
that was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So healing. It's healing for me.
It is.
You told me that.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's healing. It's oddly healing.
Come here, babies. Lucy wants to say hi to everybody.
Oh, hi. This is
Lucy. Say, I know, good girl. Say hi to Grace.
Hi.
Say hi.
It's like, no, Gracie. I just want to kiss you, Mama.
She's like, Mama, feed me.
Yeah. Where's my treat?
She's like, feed me, Mama.
You're like, all talk and no treat.
Yeah. This is Grace. She's a superhero. Yeah, she did it.
Yeah, I made it.
She wants 6 nipple rings, and I'm like, no. That is too many.
Yes.
That is too many, good girl.
Maybe a nose ring.
She's like, Mama, you're not funny. She's like, feed me, bitch.
From one bitch to another.
I know, right?
Grace, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story, being vulnerable. And that's what this show is all about. It's about people hearing our stories and feeling inspiration and being able to like talk about it. I hope this inspires everybody to be able to tell their story.
Absolutely.
Paul, into the show. And we'll actually take a stab at what you're going through right now and help you find the funny. This is Grace Fraga, my very good friend. Give it up for her. Lucy,
yay!
Grace, thank you for coming. just say something nice.
I hope everybody listen to my daughter and see it and laughing with her because she is very funny.
Awesome.
That was great. That was perfect, Mom. Perfect.